conversation. We need to take a break, and I don't want to fight. I've had a minor revelation. Let's deal with it later, 'cause it's Friday night. All week we've been working so hard, and now it's time to kick back and set our sights. We can make it pretty simple, put it on the back burner. Is it Friday night? Feel that warm breeze floating through the window. Sure do like it this way. Something tells me this is the way to go. I've got a few words to say. Slip into your best dress, paint your lips red, open up your blue eyes, forget the things we said. I could be your lover, you can shine the light. Let's fire up the candle, it's a Friday night. Gotta see your eyes sparkle, it's a Friday night. Roll that big world right off your shoulders, I will try to do the same. If we don't act now, we'll simply grow older, another faded picture in a frame. Button off your blue jeans, tumble down your hair, take a look around, we can do it anywhere. You can be my princess, I'll be what you like. Let's run around the palace, it's a Friday night. Something tells me this is the way to go, and I've got a few words to say. Slip into your best dress, paint your lips red, open up your blue eyes, forget the things you said. I could be your lover, you can shine the light. Let's burn another candle, it's a Friday night. Woo! In the house, it's raining outside, I can't seem to leave my bed, but my brain is racing like there ain't no end. I'm thinking about the things you said. Well, maybe I'm a madman, maybe I'm a fool, or maybe I live in denial. I gotta get up, get out, get on that road and go one more mile. Well, I cleaned up the kitchen and it looks so good. I'm ready to live my life. I got my umbrella and my rubber boots. I even got my pocket knife. I'm gonna get all wet, gonna trudge through the mud, gonna do it all up in style. I won't second guess, gonna try my best to go one more mile. How am I supposed to find your front door? Where am I gonna spend the night? A little peace of mind is all I'm looking for. Or maybe just a little light. I'm looking for something, searching my soul. Gotta speak with my inner child. As I begin to talk, he says to keep on walking just one more mile. Stop fighting with the one you love. You better crawl inside yourself. You gotta chase them devils floating around your head and seek them up on that shelf. And when things get better now, don't be fooled, though it might be good for a while. Keep your eyes wide open and do that work and go one more mile. Supposed to find your front door. Where am I gonna spend the night? A little peace of mind is all I'm looking for. Or maybe just a little light. There's Jesus bleeding, there's Buddha on the hill, and Krishna's got a funny smile. They all say, my friend, it's just around the bend, about one more mile. One more mile.
It's 88.5 KCSN, and boy, this is a real treat for any fan of music, and particularly fans of Los Angeles music. In the studio today with us, Timothy B. Schmidt has come by KCSN, and I can't thank you enough for coming by, and welcome to KCSN, Timothy.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thanks.
It's really great to have you. Now, you have a solo album out called Expando, and we're going to talk about Expand, and we're going to talk about a tour you're going to be doing here on the West Coast, and we'll probably ask a question or two about, you know, that other gig you have.
That's right, that other band.
Yeah, that other gig, you know. When you decided to make Expando, I read something where you talked about how you traced in your own mind back to your original roots in music, to where you started to really first think about a life in music and to think about music, and you kind of wanted to make the album take that journey from back in the beginning all the way to what you know about music now. Talk to us about the idea that went into making Expando and what you were trying to accomplish.
Well, I thought really hard about what, I mean, it sounds corny after all these years, but like, what, where did this all come from? And what, you know, what are my roots, you know?
Yeah.
An overused word, but still. And it was real obvious to me that I was, I started strumming guitars and ukuleles and banjos and started singing, experimenting with singing a lot during the whole folk music craze. Right. I was a diehard Kingston Trio fan, and I was and that whole movement. And back then, anybody who's old enough would remember TV shows, the Hootenanny, and
right.
and shows like that. So, and those songs are very accessible. You know, they're pretty easy to learn because most of them are two or three chords, four tops. And I found some like-minded friends. This is early high school. In fact, I have a picture of our first gig when I was barely 14 years old. I have a picture that's actually, I think it's on my website too, playing like it was at a church, at a Unitarian church, playing, pretending to be the Kingston Trio. I mean, we actually thought we looked like them. So that's where that came from. And my friends and I later got a drummer, and we borrowed some electric instruments and kept, you know, evolving that way.
You went electric too, huh?
Well, later.
Right.
At first also, I was way into rock and roll and, you know, what was on the radio at the time as well. But it seemed to me that any electric instruments were just unattainable at the time. It was much easier to buy an inexpensive acoustic guitar, and then you were self-sufficient with
right.
a guitar and a voice, and your friends with the same. So we kind of went that way, and then later on in high school, we started experimenting around with. We found a drummer he was the guy who had the drums.
Right.
All these guys are still really good friends of mine.
That's
tremendous.
I always
see them up in Sacramento. I'm from Sacramento, and that's kind of how that all started.
And so when you get together now and you make an album like Expando, you've clearly, how can I put this, you've acquired a pretty well-known set of friends that worked on the record with you. And talk to me about the musicians that are on the album with you and how they, you know, came to be on the album and just the whole feel of bringing them all together and what the connections were that made you want to have them particularly on the record.
Well, first of all these songs were, and because of the folk thing, I made sure I had a good acoustic guitar and the lead vocal finished before I started putting anything else on the record, so that it would stand on its own, kind of like we did here today,
right.
sort of. And then as the record evolved, I would just kind of, you know, pick my brain a little bit about who if I wanted somebody else to play on it. Pretty much it was just Hank and I. Hank,
right.
who just played here with
Hank
me, Linderman. Who engineered the album as well and played a little bit on the record. But past that, when if it got to a point where I wanted some other texture, say another voice, and I didn't want to sing. I mean, it's a lot of times overdubbing myself works, and that's what I want. But I didn't want that to be on every song. It would get really kind of boring and stale. So whichever song I was working on at the time, I would think, who would I really like to, you know, anybody, if I could have my choice. And I thought of, I would think of a person, and I would round up their phone number and I'd call them. And most people took me up on it, because some people were friends, like Graham Nash. Kenny Wayne was a friend. I did not know Kep Mo, although I met Kevin once before, but this was a handshake. And I asked these people if they were, I'm doing a project, are you interested in coming out to my studio? And pretty much everybody came. A few people turned me down, but it was either for logistics or they weren't interested. It doesn't really matter, but there's plenty of people to pick out. I mean, you know, I thought I would just go for it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to call, I'm going to find this. I would use management to find contacts, and then I would call them up. And that seemed to work pretty well.
So that personalized it, and as you were, you know, I guess as you were more or less looking at the basics of the songs that you had established, you heard in your head maybe Ben Montench doing keyboards on this, and you had talked about how Keb Mo had influenced you, and you were really impressed with him. So you decided, as you said, to go, you know, I could hear Graham singing harmony on this with me. And it literally turned into that kind of, I hear it in my head, you're going to hear it on the record.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought, why not just go for it, you know? You know, I mean, I had no idea if any of these people would do it. Well, a couple people I knew would. Graham's a good friend. I knew if he had the time, he would do it. I met Bobby Kid Rock in London once at the outside of a hotel room, outside the hotel lobby. And my son, my teenage son at the time, was with me. And I said, "Hey, you know who that is?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Let's go say hello." And I met him. And then I just kept, he was very friendly, very nice to my son. And then later on, I kept bumping into him in Malibu, and to where we finally swapped phone numbers and we hung out a little bit. You know, we went to a couple of his functions, and I just asked him, you know, if he wanted to sing. And it really was the same story every time. Would you be into this? And most people said yes. The thing I really wanted, though, I wanted people in my studio. I didn't want to do any file sharing. You know, you can, anybody who doesn't know what that is, you can actually send through the ethers email, you know, parts and do it at your studio and send back. But I wanted to do it, I wanted it all to be more personalized, you know, more personal, because I wanted to be able to interact. And so everybody who was on the record came through the studio, including the Blind Boys of Alabama.
And that's obviously, you know, the home studios get a little more crowded when you have a group of that size come in. You know, as I'm listening to you, and it's great, you know, when I could see you vividly remembering those first performances when you guys were emulating the Kingston Trio, and in listening to you talk about that personalization of either it being friends or people you admired, but the important thing for you was that there had to be that bond in the studio so that you really were connecting on the music. That leads me to a broader question. You know, you really have been a seminal figure, and I can tell that you're a man who's one of modesty, but you've been a seminal figure in what's been dubbed country rock, Americana. Talk to me about, because this is something that would just amaze me from your perspective, and I'm sure our listeners. You know, talk about the beginnings of what we dub the country rock scene here in Los Angeles, because you were there pretty much at the beginning, and you had a bird's eye view of a lot of what transpired and evolved, and it became really the sound of the 70s, not only here, but across the country. Let me hear about how it was a kid from Sacramento coming down and getting connected and getting on this ride.
Well, first of all, I always thought, I'm glad you specified it here in Los Angeles, because I always thought the first country rock was the first, you know, a lot of the first rock and roll records, the Everly Brothers,
right.
You know, Conway Twitty, right. You know, had a huge record. And Elvis, you know, was very country.
Sure, the Sun Studios, all that.
So they were the original guys. But this other movement that came later was actually, you know, I know that was strong here in Los Angeles, like really just before I came. But also the band I was in Sacramento, we were going that direction too. We were singing Merle Haggard songs.
Right.
You know, I spent 21 in prison doing life without parole. I turned 21. Yeah, you know those songs. So we were definitely going that direction too. And by the time I was asked to join Poco, this new country rock band that was you know emerging, I was you know really getting my feet into that, you know, getting my head into all that. You know, there were the Burrito Brothers and the Birds got into it. I was so happy to be in Los Angeles pursuing my dream and look like there was a possibility of things happening when Poco started talking to me, that I was just going with the flow. I really was. I probably would have gone any direction. I was just a kid and very, you know, I was very young and impressionable. So it happened to be a genre of music that I could actually contribute to because of my singing abilities. And when I first sang, had an audition with Poco, it just like, I had no idea that it could be that it would work so well. I went away from that audition thinking like, wow, that sounded really good. You know, I can do this. You know, it was that kind of thing. I was very young.
Well, now that's a great point in that, you know, you've off, you know, you by your own admission now, you've been recognized as one of the great vocalists and certainly one of the special vocalists when it comes to harmonies. And it appears that when you first did your audition with Poco, that you heard it in the room, that vocal blend must have been immediately apparent not only to you, but to all involved, yes?
Yeah, I think so. There were other factors involved after that first rehearsal. They, oddly enough, auditioned Randy Meisner the day after and then had me come after that. And I had some issues, especially with the draft. And Randy was already a friend with a couple of the other guys. And he ended up getting the gig originally. And I went home to Sacramento, like really with my tail between my legs. I felt like I blew all my chances. Of course, shortly, and within 9 months, he quit and they called me again. And I just came here and stayed.
And now, and that obviously ties to a second unfolding, I guess, of your life, and one that I guess no one, I would assume that when you were that kid back in Sacramento saving up your newspaper route money to buy the cheapest acoustic guitar, you could never have imagined being in one of, if not the biggest bands in the world.
I had no idea. I mean, along with my other bandmates and along with like thousands of other people all over the place, you know, we were just playing these gigs and dreaming and wishing and loving it, just having a lot of fun. I had no idea it would get so good for me. I'm actually still pretty impressed with it. I'm still blown away by it.
Yeah, and it's a great feeling to know. I've been friends with Joe for a while, and you know, through some wild times and some more recent times, and you know, one of the things that I always love about artists like yourself is that the really great ones recognize that, you know, it's a blessing that you get to have this stature and this success. Every band's working hard. We talked the other day, the Bangles were in, and we talked about how they, you know, were so proud to be named one of the 50 best bands of all time by Los Angeles Times in Los Angeles. And we talked about how, you know what, it's a great honor when you consider how many bands in Los Angeles alone have tried to make it just on the LA scene. But to evolve onto an international and global level like that, it has to be a blessing. Now, we talk about harmonies, you know, Poco, obviously, tremendous harmonies. Eagles, renowned as being one of the, you know, penultimate bands in terms of harmonies. When you first went to the Eagles, was it again an occasion of, or had you already kind of known that the vocals were going to blend? Or what was the first time when all those vocals came together? Did you have that, wow, this is really going to be something, a moment again?
Well, again, I was flabbergasted when I got the call. And Glenn called me and pretty much asked me if I wanted to be in the band. And I hadn't played a lick with them. I did play bass on one Linda Ronstadt track on the Heart Like a Wheel album with Don and Glenn a couple of years before. But that was one night. We obviously knew each other. We had done some gigs together. It was at the risk of sounding, you know, cocky, it seemed like just the perfect thing, like for everybody, certainly for me. And I thought this is good. I knew it would sound good. And then when we started singing together before the Long Run album, we went in and did some tracks for Joe's, I think it was the So What album.
Right.
The one where he's underwater.
Yeah.
And that's where we all really sang together the first time. And it was good. And it was really exciting.
So when you approach, you know, those harmonies, you know, you take a song like, you know, the cover of Ian Matthews' Seven Bridges Road, and it stands, you know, the harmonies are there standing alone. How much, you know, it's been said that the Eagles collectively are perfectionists. How much work goes into attaining those harmonies, and how much is it just a natural blend of voices?
If you get a group of people who, you know, two, three, four people that have, I don't know how to say this. There are certain people who blend better than others.
Right.
There's certain people who can blend together where you can, if it's three people, you can actually hear a fourth note sometimes. And it has to do with overtones. And I'm sure there's, you know, science involved here. But and I think that's something that we have. And it when we're singing strong and working out parts, that it just comes out. And not that it's not work, because everybody wants it to be really good, you know. And so we might do it, 20 times to get, you know, a line right. But I don't know how to explain it. It's sound corny, but it's a little magical, you know.
Well, and that's okay, because we want the magic to be preserved.
Yeah. So that part is easy. You know, and it's really joyful too when you're all on, you know, it's really fulfilling.
Well, when we were saw you at the Hollywood Bowl shows, you know, I couldn't help, as was the entire crowd, to be continually amazed at how the harmonies, you know, are so strong and rich and you know, pure as ever. And we all know, as we get a couple years on us, you know, it's not always the case, where particularly with the high harmonies that you contribute so greatly to, it's just an amazing thing to listen to. And frankly, I could, you know, I would pay money to see you sing a cappella, because it's that strong of a vocal blend that really excites us. Now, you're getting ready to do a West Coast tour, and by your own admission, you're doing this for the pure love of music. You know, someone who plays in football stadiums now going to do some nice, intimate clubs and halls. Talk to me about the band you've assembled for this West Coast tour, and some of the ideas about what you're going to do on the tour and songs you're going to play, and obviously Expando will be a big part of that.
Yeah, the truth is that, you know, this album, I'm not really going out on this album, and the album's 2 years old, but
right,
but I don't think too many people heard it, frankly. So, but I really like, you know, I really like this album. It's the best thing I've done so far. I'm starting to write the next one as well, but so far, you know, I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I think it's a good record. So I do, I hit that album a lot, and I, of course, put in some Poco, and I, of course, put in some Eagle stuff. And so I don't, because I know what people want, you know.
Sure.
And they'd really rather hear some of the older stuff many of the times. But I'm going to do that. That's kind of it. As far as the band goes, I'm bringing out the same people. Everybody was available again. I have a really great assemblage of players and people. Everybody, when I asked them this time if they had this time available, they emailed me right back and said, yeah, let's do it, you know, because we really had a lot of fun. And there doesn't seem to be any drama,
yeah,
which is, whew,
yeah,
that's new.
Yeah, that's nice.
Although we haven't been together that long. And
yeah, wait a week.
Yeah, you know, I suppose if we were out for a couple of years, we'll see what happened. But everybody's really into it. I have three women who sing with me, which is really great. And all the guys in the band sing. Just, you know, everybody's multi-talented. They can switch off. I have my tech, Bobby, my Eagles tech, on those shows, is also a bass player. He comes out with me as a tech, but I needed another guy a couple times to play bass, and he's a good bass player. So he comes up on stage. You know, it's just a lot of fun, and it's really a lot different, way different than playing a huge crowd, an arena or stadium. It's way different. It's you're right there, as close as I am to you,
right,
you know, singing and interacting with the audience, and it's something that was really fulfilling to me the last time I did it. And this time I had some time. The band, the Eagles, are only doing one more show at the for the rest of the year. That's in it's November 19th, actually, in Las Vegas. And then I'm not sure how much we're going to work next year. It doesn't sound like we're going to work a lot. So I'm gonna continue working on my next album and hopefully, you know, get it together a couple times to go out again. I really, you know, it's kind of a great sideline that I get to do this. It's not really my bread and butter. It's anything but that. It's
kind of tough to top the other gig.
To go out and do what I do. And I don't want to lose touch with that. And I did lose touch with it for a while. And I want to just go out and share some good times and relieve some people of some, you know, of their crazy brains. If there's anything like mine, you know.
Well, the beauty, you know, you talked about how this band is going to all contribute vocal parts, and that you're going to have the background singers, and in the intimate halls. And I've been to many of the halls you're going to be at. And certainly, you know, my wife, who as you know, had to come down today because she might be one of your biggest fans on earth. Our anniversary is right around that time. So my first anniversary present is we're going to get to see you perform at the Canyon Club. You're also going to be down at Solano Beach on the 28th of November. And, gosh, you know, just getting to play a room in San Juan Capistrano. I mean, how could... And also up in Santa Cruz, where my older son went to college, and I know the Rio Theater. These are all just tremendous rooms. And the Canyon Club, for the listeners in our immediate area, all know... the opportunity to see you there, I think it is going to be just what you want, which is a real gathering of people that really are going to love the music and feel the music and share the music with you. And I certainly know from our perspective, we're going to ask all our listeners to come out, because it will be a night in which music's being played for all the pure reasons. And that's something that when we talk about pure, with your pure voice and those pure reasons, it can't be anything but a special night.
Well, I hope I am up to that task, because that's what I aim to do. Yeah.
Well, we are pretty much sure that that's going to be happening. And as you work on the new record, and you get close to fruition on that, no, we're here for you. This is a place where if you want to hear how the mixes sound over the radio, just bring by a mix early on and we'll play it. And you
Great.
Can drive around and listen and go, okay, yeah, it's sounding the way I want it. We'd like you to know that you do have a home here for your music as you move forward, both on this, certainly on your solo stuff, as well as, you know, the day job. Yeah, I'm sure we'll be able to support that band as well. But I can't thank you enough for coming down. It means a lot. You know, when your publicist first reached out, it's one of those things where we at KCSN say, huh, Timothy B. Schmidt wants to come by and actually sit in here and sing and play with us. So it means a lot to us. And we certainly want to thank you, and we will show our support to you moving forward. So thanks for stopping by today and sharing your music with us here on KCSN.
It's my pleasure, and thank you so much. Thanks very much.
Thank you.